Let's pray. Lord, again, we give you all thanks and praise and glory. Lord, we thank you for the beauty of who you are. And as we contemplate your works in this world, as Jesus, we celebrate that you are alive. We pray that you would grow us in obedience to you. Lord, grow us in our love for your story. And we pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I have not seen the movie Noah. And actually, after tonight, I thought, I don't need to see it. We had the flood, our own little Noah. Who needs Russell Crowe when you got Aidan Kingsbury with a big beard and, you know Aaliyah there is Noah's wife. What a delight. What a joy. I've been told in the movie Noah that God is only referred to by the name the Creator. And I thought that was very interesting when I read that. I've read many reviews. I'm really interested in this movie, even though I haven't seen it. But I thought that was fascinating that was the name and the only name they gave to God, the Creator. And on this night, we say that is a good and right name for God. I love that the vigil starts with the creation story. And I was so blessed tonight to have children saying it. One of them, my daughter. So, of course, I was blessed by that. But what a good beginning to remember that God created everything. And it is right to celebrate him as creator. It is right to celebrate the beauty of this world, to be in awe in the fact that he created everything, seen and unseen, invisible and invisible. I'm reading a book called Jaber Crow by Wendell Berry. And in that novel, Jaber Crow lives in the small town called Port William in Kentucky. And he talks about how in the church in Port William, they would have different pastors come through because it was a very small church and a very small town. And so a lot of seminarians would come there, be there for a short time, and then move on. And he says that although they have different pastors at this church, he said they all seem to preach a very similar message. And he said that message that they all seem to preach demonstrates that these pastors have a very high view of God, but a very low view of his works, of the things he has made, of his creation. And Jaber says, and he says he can't understand because the people at the church seem to appreciate these sermons. And yet when he looks around during the worship service, he sees people that love this world. Right? He sees farmers who love their farms and love growing things in their farms and love their farm animals. Right? We had lots of animals tonight. Great, cool animals. Right? And he sees they love their animals. Why do they want to hear these sermons about how terrible creation is? Right? And he sees that they love their families. They love one another. And then he points out that these pastors who talk about the evils of creation and the world are the ones who eat the most at the Sunday dinners when they gather together, right? Pastors love free meals, right? It's just true. So keep that in mind. So there you go, Nathan. Give me credit for that. So feed your pastor. But it's true that we need to remember that this world is created by our God, right? And it is full of beauty. And it is full of things that we should be thankful that we have such a good and generous creator. And it's so good to start, again, our vigil, just giving thanks that he's created everything and that he created it and he created it good, right? That he created families and he created, again, beauty. And we celebrate beauty on this night. He created music and we celebrate music. He created art and, again, so much, right? And yet we move from the Genesis 1 reading, right, to the fall or to the flood, right? We go through the fall into the flood. And then we're reminded, this world that was created good is now full of evil. Such evil that God came against it with a flood, addressed the evil, and judged it. Right? We remember that, yes, this world is a beautiful place, but it's broken. And there is no way to deny its brokenness. Right? We don't need the flood reading to remind us that this world is full of sin. And it's not the creator who broke it, right? It is his creation. As we have turned away from God, as people have sinned, as spiritual forces have rebelled against God, this world has become broken. Now, if a child brings a toy that his father gave him, and it's been broken, and he says to his father, Dad, you entrusted me with this toy, but now it's broken. Would you please fix it? A father may be justified in saying, no, you know, I entrusted it to you. You were supposed to take care of it. You fix it. Right? But many fathers are going to say, of course I'll fix it. Right? Let me see what I can do. Now, my kids, when they were young, learned very early not to bring broken toys to me. Not because I'm a mean dad. I'm a nice dad. Don't ask my children, but I am. I'm nice. But they just learned I can't fix things. I'm not very good at fixing things. So, and their grandpa is here today, tonight, worshiping with us, and they learned he's the man to go to when things are broken. Because he can fix things, and he's kind and compassionate and loves to fix things. And so they bring their toys to him, or they brought their toys to him. We're kind of grown out of that stage now, because he was the one that could fix things. And that's what God our Father is like. We broke this world that he entrusted to us, and he says, let me fix it. And yes, he fixes it through the judgment of the flood and through coming against evil. And he fixes it by raising up a people for himself and bringing a people out of Abraham who is beyond child-rearing years. And he fixes it by teaching Abraham to trust him. He fixes it by freeing this people when they're enslaved in Egypt and bringing them out of Egypt and bringing them to a place that the only way that they can get free is through the power of God. And he shows them his power in parting the Red Sea. And he brings them into the promised land. And then he fixes it by addressing their idolatry. And they're turning away from him again and again by calling them back to himself, right? He compares himself to a husband who loves his wife, but his wife keeps being unfaithful, yet he keeps giving her chance and chance again, come back to me, come back to me. Right? And finally, when Israel just keeps rebelling and going into idolatry, yes, he lets them go into exile and to be taken out of this homeland that he's given them. But even as he sends them away into exile, he gives these promises that we heard tonight, these beautiful promises from Zephaniah and from Ezekiel, from Isaiah, right, that said, I will bring you home. Yes, I'm disciplining you because I love you, because I'm a good father, but I will bring you home. And he brings them back to their physical home, to the nation of Israel, but then he calls them to their true home. He makes a way for them to come back into the family that he created them to be a part of. And he does it by becoming man, by becoming one of them. He becomes flesh and takes on our flesh, and he lives among this people that he has loved, and he's brought up to worship him, and he shows them, this is what I'm like, right? I love the least of these, right? I do miracles, I heal, right? I speak the truth, I'm not afraid. And they see, this is what God is like. But they don't believe it's God. And then he fixes the brokenness of this world by being broken himself. Amazingly. He takes on the sin that we did. He takes on our rebellion onto himself, and he pays the price. And he defeats sin. And he defeats death. And he rises again. And this is our story. Another novel that I love, Peace Like a River, by a great Minnesota writer, Leif Anger. I knew it would come to me. It says this near the beginning of the novel. The narrator says this. He says, for too long, the word miracle has been used to characterize things or events that are entirely normal. Peeping chicks at Easter time, the coming of spring, which this year feels miraculous. Let's admit it. That's not from the book. The coming of spring, a miracle, people say, as if they've been educated from greeting cards. I'm sorry. Nope. Real miracles bother people. They rebut every rule we good citizens take comfort in. A miracle contradicts the will of the earth. People fear miracles because they fear being changed, though ignoring them will change you also. Let me read that last line again. People fear miracles because they fear being changed, but ignoring them will change you also. As we tell this great cosmic story tonight, as we remember creation and fall and redemption and the defeat of death for all the world, we also say, this is your story. Right? Yes, it is God redeeming the world, but it's God redeeming you. And so there's an invitation in this story. Say, this is about you. This is personal. You can't just step back. You can't ignore this miracle, the resurrection, but that will change you. And you want to be changed by embracing by living in the miracle of the resurrection, by living in the reconciliation that our Lord Jesus Christ has brought. As you may guess, and as many of you know, probably about half the congregation tonight was either involved in this vigil or has been involved in another one. It takes a lot of work to put these together, right? And it's stressful at times. I mean, this one literally had lots of moving parts, as you could see, right? And there was artists that worked on it, and there were the readers that you saw, and there are many, many people who worked behind the scenes, and our musicians who did incredible work, and Gerard Pierre who made these beautiful mobiles. And again, we can just go on and on of all the folks that have used their gifts to bless us, right? And it is a sacrifice, but it's a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Right? As we say in our Eucharist liturgy, it is good and it is right to give him thanks and praise always and everywhere. So it's a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving because it's good to say this is our story. Right? This is a good story. It's the most important story we can tell, right? And we want to tell it. It's a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, but it's also an invitation. It's an invitation to say, please, receive this story. Come into this story. Embrace the truth of the resurrection. And I just invite you, if you are here tonight and you are sort of standing a little perhaps apart from the story, I just would want you to know that God has made a way for you to come fully into his family, to know fully the defeat of death and the hope of eternal life. And I encourage you to embrace the story and to make it your own. Again, it's such a joy to share the story. It's an honor and it's a privilege to share it. Let us all continue to rejoice in God redeeming and fixing us and repairing this broken world through his broken body. Let's do one more alleluia. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia. Amen.